to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Carol. Deb and I are so excited to tell you about our new online program, Life Flip. What is Life Flip? Well, it's a methodology which examines your life experiences and builds on them to create the life you want, a life in complete alignment with your higher self. It's like flipping a house, using the foundation and good bones and creating something even more beautiful. Think of it as you 2.0. Some of you may be thinking, well, I have no idea what I want to do. I just know I don't want to be here. Well, Life Flip marries personal discovery work with business expertise, giving you the roadmap to go from where you are now to where you want to be. Whether you're just starting on this path or you're already on it and simply need some guidance, Life Flip can help you get there. To register, go to thedivinebreadcrumb.com, click the services tab, and click on Life Flip. You can do this, and it's not too late. Hello, welcome back. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Today, Deb and I are talking with friend of the show, Jordan Gross, author of the new book, The Journey to Cloud Nine, Confront the Past, Redefine the Future. Jordan is also the founder of Cloud Nine Living, a way of life that embraces living your life from a place of meaning and purpose. Jordan is a Northwestern and Kellogg School of Management graduate, as well as a leadership coach and TEDx speaker. And the last time we had Jordan on the show, his book was in progress. So we're excited to talk with him about the book and how it's being received. And as we mentioned last time, we love talking with Jordan because so much of what he's doing is in alignment with our own mission, which is putting out good into the world and helping people to live their best lives. So Jordan, welcome back to the show.
Hey Deb, hey Carol, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be on the show again, you know, for the second time. I can't wait for our chat, but yeah, what you just mentioned is really the main reason why I love talking to you guys and why I definitely wanted to make sure I came back again. It's because, like, you guys were just telling me about Life Flip. That's okay if I mention it, right? It's not a secret.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You guys were just talking about Life Flip, and I'm sitting here looking at my notes, and I'm thinking, well, that's something I want to talk to people about, and that's something I want to talk to people about. Make sure people know that they use their assets to build upon whatever they're going to create and all this good stuff. So yeah, there's definitely so much overlap, and having like-minded individuals chatting together, I don't think there's too much better than that to spread the word.
Yeah, absolutely our favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
So let's jump in. For people who haven't read the book yet, please tell our listeners a little bit about the premise and how the idea came to you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for letting me share.
Sure.
The book is called The Journey to Cloud Nine. And the brief backstory was that I wrote and self-published my first book, Getting Comfy, Your Morning Guide to Daily Happiness, in January 2018. And it was right after I quit my corporate job and I immersed myself in this world of personal development. And it was about morning routines and overcoming stress and anxiety and being positive and optimistic. And I worked really hard on it for like 6 months, and things were starting to die down as they do in the book world sometimes. And I had this conversation with Daniel Pink. Daniel Pink is a 5-time New York Times bestselling author. And I was really fortunate because he went to Northwestern. So I connected with him through the alumni network, and he was so amazing to give me some of his time. So when we're talking about the book, he says, so now that you're 6 months in, what are you going to do? Or you got to double down on being the getting comfy guy, or you got to just really take ownership and be the morning routine guy. And when he said those two things, I didn't really light up the way that I thought I would. So I kind of had this moment of like, okay, I don't really want to do that. Well, what do I do next? And I thought on it for a little longer, and I continued writing and coaching and doing a little bit of speaking. And then I had this really transformative experience where it was a Sunday afternoon and I was at my friend's house in Lower Manhattan. We were watching football and eating pork shoulder and cursing at the TV about our fantasy teams, when all of a sudden we started talking about life. A close friend, or not a close friend, but an acquaintance from high school had passed away, and we were all friends from high school. And we were just talking about life and death and purpose and meaning and what everything is about in this world. So it got way deeper than usual.
Yeah.
And as I'm driving home that night in an Uber, I'm sitting in the back seat just thinking about the conversations. Whereas usually I chat up the Uber driver wherever I am. I ask a ton of questions, just trying to make it not boring, make him or her feel different than usual. Whereas most people probably sit in the back and be silent. I was being one of those people. But that was until in the East River, I saw a boat, and the boat was called Cloud Nine. And I looked at that boat and I said, wow, it's a really cool name for a boat. I wonder why it's called that. And I wonder what Cloud Nine means to other people, because I know what it means to me. In that moment, I thought I knew what it meant to me. So I asked my Uber driver out of the blue, hey, sir, what does Cloud Nine mean to you? And his stories really have shaped the way in which I think about Cloud Nine. And it really led me down the path of exploring what Cloud Nine means to people. So he started telling me about the day he got married, the day he had his children, the day he can remember he was a kid doing something, you know, playful that was totally uninterrupted joy. He told me about a big career accomplishment. He told me about something with his parents, something, you know, all these different pivotal moments in his life that he could reflect upon and realize that he was on Cloud Nine. So I got out of the Uber and I said, I gotta follow up on this. I need to keep asking people what Cloud Nine means to them. So I've been doing that for the last year now, and I've picked up on different pivotal moments and different patterns of how to live a Cloud Nine life. And the kicker is that throughout all my research and all the interviews that I've done, I've compiled a certain number, 9 actually, for Cloud Nine, 9 principles to live a Cloud Nine life, and 9 different pivotal moments as to when this Cloud Nine sensation can occur. But I didn't want to share that in this kind of way. So when I was thinking about the Getting Comfy, the first book, one of the reasons why some people didn't read it, or some people didn't enjoy it, or I didn't, my eyes didn't light up when I wanted to, you know, was asked to double down on being the getting comfy guy, was because I think that not a lot of people want to be told what to do. And people have a bit of a stigma against self-help, and people, they kind of want to make their own interpretations. And I truly think that's how we get the most out of reading personal development type things. So I decided to create a fictional story with one character. His name's Jerry, who is living not so much on Cloud Nine. And I incorporated all the stories that I heard and all these pivotal Cloud Nine moments and decisions he had to make in his life, and showed what happens when you don't make decisions based off of your heart and your intuition. But I also showed what Jerry's life could have looked like had he made decisions based off of his heart and intuition. And that's what I call his Cloud Nine life. So the book goes back and forth. It's part real, it's part dream. And through that story, I'm hoping that you as a reader are able to think for yourself and really get in touch with the characters, feel how they feel or don't feel how you don't want them to feel, and make your own inferences and interpretations and really implementations into your own life of the advice that I'm trying to share.
Oh, I love that. There's so much good stuff to talk about here. First of all, you know, Jordan, when you were talking about how you weren't lighting up at the thought of being the comfy guy, and I literally just wrote a post this morning about when something feels true and right for you, it feels light in your body. And when it doesn't, it feels heavy. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened to you.
Yeah, there was no excitement. There was no flair anymore. It's almost like I gave it my best shot, and that, you know, it's sometimes people are like, when do you know when to stop, right? Or when do you give up if something's just not working? And whereas so much of the time I want to say never give up and don't quit, sometimes it's just that feeling. It's that gut feeling, intuition. If there's no longer the light in your eyes and you're not shining and waking up every morning excited to go ahead and do it, then it's probably that inflection point. And that's what my conversation with Dan allowed me to realize.
Exactly. And it's okay to pivot. And, you know, what you call pivots, we call divine breadcrumbs. And, you know, I think it's really cool that you had these 9, you know, kind of massive pivotal moments. And we call those, what we were joking about it, those are cosmic croutons. That was close as we come to divine breadcrumb. But, you know, there's so many people who beat themselves up for what they feel is wasted time or mistakes made. So how does the journey to Cloud Nine help the reader to maybe reframe these quote unquote mistakes that they think they've made?
Yeah, absolutely. So the subtitle, and again, this is part of our overlap that you guys will be able to speak to and resonate with so greatly. The subtitle for the book is Confront the Past, Redefine the Future. So I try to be unbiased. Obviously, with the direction my life has taken, it's pretty clear as to which life I want you to live. But still, there's no judgmental bone in my body, because I truly believe it's always based off of what we know to be true for ourselves, and we have to understand what's best for ourselves. So when you're feeling like you've made a decision that seems regretful, right? Or you're making a decision and you don't want it to be the wrong one, I'm not telling you to choose Cloud Nine life or stable life. I'm not telling you to choose entrepreneurship over investment banking. All I'm saying is that when you make the choice, do not make that choice with reluctance. When I decided to quit my job and go into writing and speaking and coaching, I couldn't half-ass it, right?
Right.
Just, you know, dip my toes into it, because that then I would constantly be thinking about the what if, the woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? And that's never going to be advantageous for the route that we're trying to really make a mark in. So that's what I would say. But then also, when you're looking back and maybe you never had this sort of mindset before, and you wake up one day and you realize, wow, I've been doing the non-cloud life for Cloud Nine life for so long and I need to fix something, that's where you two come in, right? I think that's the sort of life flip that is so important to realize that, sure, maybe you weren't doing what was the epitome of your life's purpose, but you were still probably doing a lot of good things and you still probably had a lot of Cloud Nine moments. And you still probably have a lot of amazing assets in your toolkit to work on and thrive upon in order to figure out what's next. So it's about never actually regretting the past decisions. It's just about using them to redefine what you're going to do moving ahead.
Amen.
Absolutely. And so aligned with Life Flip. That's, you know, exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So you've released 2 books now. And as memory serves, the first was self-published, and the new one was traditionally published.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Can you talk a little bit about those 2 different experiences?
Yes. And again, so I love routine, but I hate monotony. So I always have structure. I always have a plan, but I like some flexibility, right? And this is part of this story, because I've got this plan where first one was self-published and this one was hybrid published. So for those of you who don't know, there's self, hybrid, / boutique, and traditional, right? So with self-publishing, to explain it along with my experience, you need a platform to get to the big leagues, let's call it, right? You need you know, a concept. You need thousands upon thousands of followers and fans because publishing companies need to know that your book is going to sell. I obviously didn't have that at first, even though I was this naive 23-year-old kid coming into the book writing world saying, I have the next big thing, and I went to Northwestern, and I went to Kellogg, and I'm deviating from the norm and quitting my job just to write a book, so you better, you know, sign me as your author. That didn't So I self-published, and it was a really amazing experience because there were so many advantages to it. I got to have free reign as to the final product. I got to own all the rights and royalties. I got to decide when it was coming out. I got to decide what it would be priced at. I got to decide when I could change the price. I got to decide when I could give it away for free. You know, I had so much control over that first book. I had, you know, I could really focus in on the business side and the creative side. So that was really wonderful. And it was all about the work that I put into it. And I put a lot of work into it. Then fast forward to the boutique / hybrid model, which is what I'm doing now, which just kind of takes away some of the behind the scenes stuff. So with the self-publishing, I had to like format it. I had to put it up on Amazon. I had to focus on, you know, the right structure, keywords, Amazon optimization, all that stuff. When I went to the hybrid model, I gave them some money up front and they took care of all the back end work so that I could focus on the marketing and the creative side, which was really nice. I didn't have to focus on any of those nitty gritty details anymore. And still, I own all the rights. I own all the royalties. I was on more of like their timeline as opposed to getting the edits in and working with a professional editor, making it more like the traditional experience. But the place where it mainly differs from the traditional publishing model is in distribution. So traditional publishing can get you into bookstores, all these good stuff with all their deals. Hybrid and boutique, they don't have the same bandwidth. So again, and even with traditional too, from what I've heard from author friends, the marketing is still totally up to you. The book is still going to do as well as you want it to do, or you the work that you put into it, right? So yeah, that's been the second experience. And again, for me, I love every single day I'm doing the same kinds of things with this second launch, like podcasting and my own podcast and writing and LinkedIn sharing and commenting and connecting with people, reaching out to 100 new people every day, giving away free chapters, right? All these different things. But, you know, where the flexibility comes in is in all the different things I get to talk about today, you know, right? Like I get about the book with you guys, and then later on I get to interview somebody about their Cloud9 life, and then after that I get to have just free reign networking calls where I can ask my own questions and sort of get outside my own head. So yeah, this whole process has been really, really amazing. And the other thing that I'll say that differed between the two books is that, and this is very important, sorry to go on and on, but this is like the last thing I really want to mention about my two different strategies for anybody coming out with a book out there. So for the first book, I was really attracted to the bestseller banner, right? And I wanted to get that shiny orange banner on Getting Comfy that said number one bestseller in whatever Amazon category it was. And the way that you do that is by having, or one of the ways that you do that is by having this awesome launch team made up of friends, family, colleagues, who support your book right when it comes out, right? So I had 186 people on that launch team the first time my book came around. And people, you know, it was 99 cents. So people were just grabbing it and telling others to grab it. And people were sharing on social media. And I had to really take control of this 186 person team all that first week. And it's like I put in so much work that first week. I got the shiny banner. And then that was it, right? Like the hype really leveled off right after that. And you know what? When I was talking to Dan about why my eyes didn't light up anymore, maybe it's because I put all that work into just the first week to get that shiny bestseller banner.
Right, right.
So I was thinking about that as I went into the launch of the Journey to Cloud9. And what I'm doing now is a staggered launch. So I want this book to have a long lasting message. I think it can really resonate with people for years and years to come. I want this book to have endurance, to have legs, to really last. So I'm not focused on the bestseller banner whatsoever. Through the last 2 years, I've been really intentional and deliberate about the relationships that I've been able to make. So I have 525 people who they've touched my lives, I've touched theirs in some way in the last 2 years, who I have in an Excel sheet, and then 25 people per week are on my launch team. So 525 divided by 25, next 21 weeks, mm-hmm. my book will be relaunching with a new group of 25 people. So what that does is a couple of different things. One, it takes a lot of stress off of me, so I don't have to manage 186 people every week, like in that week, like I did the first time. Two, it gives the book the longevity it deserves by having it, you know, seem like it's new and fresh to a new network of people when others spread the word every week until July 4th, right? And we're in February, right? And three, I think what it does is it allows me to practice what I preach and just really enjoy the journey as opposed to be focused on the end destination. So what I mean by that is just enjoy every single moment as opposed to just be worried about that shiny bestseller banner.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it.
It actually took me a long time to learn that lesson. Enjoy the journey, not just getting to the destination. Yeah. But it's an important one, because once you get to the destination, then there's just another destination after that. So you might as well enjoy the travel time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Jordan, before we switch gears, I did want to ask, you know, how is the book being received? And of course, have you approached Gerald McCraney for the role in the movie version?
So first, the book is being even better received than I ever could have imagined.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you so much. And the comments that I've received are so wonderful. The reviews that I've been getting are so wonderful. You know, my own numbers that I want to hit, I'm surpassing those expectations, even though that's not super important to me. So yeah, I've got some really lofty ambitions with this book. You know, making it a movie, like you said, is definitely a dream of mine. That would be like a huge cloud nine moment for me. You know, just people are starting to send me pictures with their paperbacks, because I've only officially launched the paperback on Monday, and here we are on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's just a really exciting time. And in regard to Gerald McCraney, I've not gotten in touch with him yet. If anybody knows his agent or whoever reads his script, please let me know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's so funny, because when you had told us about that the first time you were on, of course, when I'm reading the book, that's how I'm picturing Jerry to look.
Oh, that's awesome.
So switching gears a little bit, you gave a TED Talk entitled Getting Comfy in the Uncomfy. And I think you gave this talk to students. So I was wondering, you know, kind of how they received that and why it's so important to get uncomfortable in our lives.
Yeah, so this talk was for the first book, right? And I said it was about morning routines, but through feedback, I realized that it wasn't just about morning routines, right? And if you really think about why we fear the morning so much, it's because that's a really uncomfortable time. You know, as you know, it's very paradoxical. As comfy, cozy as we are in our beds, the discomfort comes from having to get up out of the bed and face the world, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what comfy turned into was a way to approach any of those situations where you had to really face the world. And I directed it towards students because I was speaking at a middle school in Clinton, New York. And basically the way that I got the talk was by connecting with the organizer and telling her how much I believed that students could benefit from having an effective morning routine, or having an effective routine that allowed them to overcome stress and anxiety when they were presenting a project or taking a big exam, or just, you know, getting into the school in the morning with a brightened approach to how their day was going to go. So that's why I was directed towards students, and it was received very well. I didn't double down on it because the comfy was not, you know, the thing I wanted to really focus on. But to answer your question directly about why it's so important to get uncomfy, it's because this is, you know, comfort is the enemy of progress, right? And the more, you know, think about in your bed in that morning, right? If you're just going to stay comfy, cozy in bed all day, sure, it's going to feel really good right then and there maybe, but in the long run, that's not going to benefit you. That's not going to make you more productive. You're not going to be chasing your dream, right? So doing what's uncomfy is really important. There's so much talk now about getting outside of your comfort zone. And what I wanted to do was not just say you have to get outside your comfort zone, but I wanted to show people how to get outside their comfort zones, right? So that's actually what comfy stands for. It's calm, openness, movement, funny, and your choice, your thing, or you, right? So before, you know, when I was talking to the students before a big test, you know, take a couple deep breaths and get calm. And then open up to a friend and say, hey, good luck on the exam. You know, I'm a little bit nervous, but it's going to be okay. And then M stands for movement, right? So jump up and down, just get your energy going a little bit. And then F stands for funny, you know, look at a quick meme or funny video, right? To just not take yourself or the exam so seriously. And then finally, Y, which is you know, do your own little pump up talk or whatever it is. Give your friend a handshake, whatever that may be, so that you are just, you know, now you know that even though there is something uncomfy in your near future, you just got a little more comfy going into it.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you were talking to kids, because having kids learn a lot of this early is so important, because as we know, the comfort zone is the dead zone. The creativity and passion doesn't happen in that space.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jordan, what's next for you? Any more books?
Oh yeah. Immediately is like the Journey to Cloud Nine still lights me up, right? So I want to be, like I said, very long lasting. So next in the immediate future is March 3rd. I'm giving my next TED Talk.
Oh.
Not so much on the Journey to Cloud Nine or the concept of Cloud Nine. It's actually more so about what I see my 5, 10, 15 year future as being, which is writing self-help through allegories, through stories, through fiction, because I had so much fun with this. It's pretty much the only thing I read now are these fable type approaches to personal development. So I'm giving a talk called Why is Self-Help Not Helping?
Love it.
For all the self-help junkies or people who are trying to change their life, who are getting overwhelmed, who are confused about contradictory opinions and one person telling them to be patient and another one telling them to work hard every single day and work and live in the right now. I'm trying to say that, yes, self-help is amazing and it helps me in ways that I can't even describe. But in order to really make your own mark and sort of walk your own walk, fly your own plane throughout the sky, you know, related to Cloud Nine stuff. Doing it through storytelling and interpreting stories and resonating with the characters and having an emotional connection to the plot, that's going to provide insights into your own life that are a little bit more fun, they're a little bit more telling, and they'll just be a little bit more long-lasting, in my opinion. So that's the next thing immediately. And then, you know, more books. Yes, absolutely. But all of those books are going to be in this type of model where I'll do research, I'll figure out some key insights. And then the way that I will present the information is in this fun, entertaining, storytelling, almost movie-like approach.
Yeah. And I think that's so powerful, Jordan, and I think we might've touched on this the last time you were with us. The fact that sometimes people receive information better if it's in a story. If it's just straight out self-help, it's a little tough. I know one of my favorite books, which was out a long time ago, but I just recently read it, was The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari by Robin Sharma, which is very much, you know, what you're talking about. And it does. It just resonates because you can use your imagination. You can go places in your mind of, hey, how does this relate to me without being kind of forced into a box?
Exactly. And he's one of my favorite authors in this space. And you mentioned the word imagination. And my new favorite word right now that I made up is imaginativitation. It's how I created the Journey to Cloud Nine, and it's how I want people to walk away after they read the Journey to Cloud Nine. So what it means is imagination plus creativity plus interpretation plus implementation. So when you read a book like this, I want you to imagine yourself as the protagonist. Who is that person? And then what I want you to do is creatively work your way into building the life of your dreams by being this protagonist, and then interpret why you want this to be the life that you live, and then finally start implementing that creative plan that you've devised. So yeah, that's what I want people to understand that stories can do for them.
Well, we are just so happy for you, and you know, excited to see all the things you're going to bring to the world. And, you know, we've mentioned it before, but if you're in the Boston area promoting or doing a talk or whatever, you let us know.
That's another thing too. The first 6 months of this year are going to be devoted to like all the behind the scenes stuff, right? Podcasts and outreach and just everything I can do from sitting right here in my apartment. But then the next 6 months of the year are going to be getting out there and doing talks and going to bookstores and trying to go to schools and different places where I can, you know, really share this message. So when I go to Boston, I will let you guys know.
Absolutely.
And chat even more. So thank you guys so much again. And yeah, I'm just so appreciative that you'd take the time.
You know, we love you. It was so great to check in with you again and hear what you've been up to. You know, our first talk was so much fun. So we were glad you were able to join us again.
Yeah. Did you guys have any different characters or famous actors in mind for anyone else in the Journey to Cloud Nine?
No, I'm not kidding. Gerald McCraney was the image.
There is an actor that I did think of for Jerry's caretaker, and I can't place his name right now, but I'll send you when I figure it out. I'll send you his name.
Oh, okay. What about CP, the co-pilot?
I don't have an actor in mind, but I did want to ask you, the relationship between Jerry and CP was of course very strong.
Yeah.
Is that modeling a relationship in your own life?
It's an amazing question. Not so much. I mean, a lot of the relationships, I would say the closeness is like that, but sort of the tough love. You know, kind of, CP is like a little bit rough, you know, like
right.
He says what he means. The inspiration for that actually came from the movie Green Book. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies ever.
Okay.
Take a watch of Green Book and see if there's some CP you realize in Viggo Mortensen's character.
Okay, cool. And
let me know what you think.
Excellent. We will check that out. All right. Well, thank you again so much, Jordan, for joining us.
Thank you, Deb.
Yeah, thank you.
And everybody, thanks for listening. As always, you can catch the show on the Divine Breadcrumb, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you're hearing, please drop us a note, an email, a review, get in touch. We love hearing from you. And Jordan, where can people find you?
Getting in touch with me directly, just please reach out on LinkedIn. It's just Jordan Gross on LinkedIn. That's where I spend most of my time. And then finding out more information is just journeytocloud9.com.
Great. And we will put all of that in the show notes so people can connect with you.
Thank you so, so much again.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Any last words?
No, thanks again. This has been fun.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will catch you next time.